You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, with the fifth anniversary of the Webcomic Beacon coming up this December 2012. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com, and with me I have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
And Kelly Turnbull of the PunchlineIsMachismo.com. Welcome.
Hello.
Or otherwise, manlyguys.com. Because there are
easier.
Yeah, there are manly guys doing manly things over there. If you've updated.
I update every week. I've never missed a week.
Okay, I better put your comic back into my active bookmarks then. You've not updated for a while.
No, I update once a week, not always on the same day.
Alrighty, and this week, I'm hearkening back to everybody that sent hey, I'd like to be on an EP episode that I did last summer. I'm going to try to start getting to some of those, and with us, we have one of those people with us, and we have Michael Corley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fess.
Now, when you emailed me, you only emailed a comic that you do and a podcast, but apparently if you go to michaelcorley.com, we find about all sorts of stuff about you. Like, you're an entertainer and an actor, a voice actor.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's where my comic came from, is I had a website, like you saw, michaelcorley.com, and while I do all of these other things, they're extremely sporadic. I might do a dozen in 2 months and then do nothing for 3 months. And I realized I needed some content for my website. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be cool if I had a little comic to put up there.
All right. Well, before we get into your comic, I think we need to start at the beginning and work our way forward. So, as far as, like, when it comes to all the creative works that you have under your belt right now, what was the first thing you decided, I want to be a creator, an entertainer, and so you went into what first?
Well, the first thing was a storyteller. I am a professional storyteller. Libraries, birthday parties, that sort of thing, pay me to come and tell stories, and I've been doing that since I was a very young teenager around the campfire at Boy Scouts. Telling scary stories. And my mother is a teacher, and she would bring me in to scare her children around Halloween. And I realized people would pay me to do that. And so I've been doing that since 1997. And about 5 years ago, just almost completely by accident, I stumbled upon magic as well. And so I began adding magic to my show as well. And so I became a magician. All during all of this time, again, since around 98, I've been doing voice work. I've been a voice actor and just slowly expanding the different things that I do that for. And I do some live stuff as well, but the vast majority of what I do is voice.
When you have, I can see the connection from being a storyteller and then working into magic. I can totally see the connection there, but where did the jump to voice acting come in?
Well, that actually goes back further. The story is rather silly. Like most people my age, I loved Transformers. And, of course, you know, who didn't? And to hear Optimus Prime say, "Autobots, roll out!" And I worked at a movie theater for many, many years. And watching the trailer for Unforgiven, I hear this voice say, "It was a matter of honor." And I was like, that's Optimus Prime. And of course, later I found out that's Peter Cullen. And it was the first time that it struck me that people get paid for this. People do this for a living. And I decided at that moment, basically, that I was going to become a voice actor.
Wow. And Nick Tate is always the one I think of. He was in one of my favorite TV shows in the 70s, Space 1999.
Oh, my.
And he was at a convention, and I went to, and he was talking about, yeah, so I do this other stuff. Maybe you've heard this. And I can't remember the shows, but it was for NBC. And he totally – he's Australian, but he totally buried that. And he – and now on NBC, ER, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it was like, oh, my God, I've heard him over and over and never even knew it doing that. But I digress.
I don't know. I always feel bad when I go to like conventions and stuff, and like it seems like the voice actors get like the craziest fans and stuff. Like they can't separate like the cartoon character from the real person. Like, oh man, I don't even know. Like, I feel like I shouldn't be telling other people's stories, but just like some of the things people have, like, oh man.
So you Animaniacs were trapped in the water tower. What'd you eat?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that like?
It's about on par with that.
You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that there are some voice actors that really, so to speak, live the characters. But it's, you know, it's another checklist off for some other people as well. I've been going through your site because since you didn't link it, I ended up finding it later. You've been doing voice work as Dr. Norm for My Dentist, Complete Care Dentistry in Oklahoma. So tell us about this.
That was one of my favorite ones because until that point, I had never done an animated character. And he was just he's a little short dentist who keeps trying to, you know, tell people to go to the dentist. And of course, as happens with animated characters, wacky things happen to him, as will happen. But, you know, they just wanted a kind of a noodly voice. I'm Dr. Norm, and I want to tell you about my dentist. You know, that's what they wanted. So that's what they gave them.
So I got to ask, how did you get this job?
Well, that particular job, have you ever heard the phrase, it's who you know? It's absolutely true. I know the guy who did the animation. And I was at his house while he was killing himself getting this animation ready. And I said, can I try out for that voice? And I got the part.
Sweet.
It often is really that simple. It's just getting to know people in the industry.
Very few, you know, entertainment industry jobs that you get without, like, it's like that hardest part is just like getting your foot in the door.
It really is.
I only know Fess, so.
You know Kelly. Kelly's a lot more.
That's true. I know Kelly, too.
Kelly, yeah. You're on IMDb, aren't you?
There's a funny story about my IMDb. Apparently there's another person in entertainment, I guess, with the name Kelly Turnbull. So when, I've worked on other shows before, Good Vibes, but they didn't, like, I didn't get an IMDb credit for them because it was, like, cup of coffee, animation. Like, it wasn't, you know, the individual animators. But, Good Vibes, we got individual credits, and so I went there, and I was credited for acting and doing, like, makeup in this short that I have no idea what it is, and I was like, oh, I think I'm, like, creeping on somebody else's IMDb page, but they got my Good Vibes credit, so, I don't know, we're sharing one, I guess.
Fair enough. Well, I know Melissa, she has an Emmy.
Nice.
What?
Melissa has an Emmy.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she does. She said she had one for some project she did, or was it an Oscar?
I'm going to have
pretty
to.
Pretty sure it's an Emmy.
I'm pretty
she
sure
has
she
an
doesn't.
Emmy sitting on a shelf somewhere.
No,
someone
she
told
doesn't.
Me they
I would
an
know
Emmy.
If she had an Emmy. No, she. I know she has an IMDb entry for Trekkies 2 because she was in there for a nice. And it's on Netflix now, and she's in it for like 8 seconds. But but she also knows a lot of people as well. Yeah, but.
Well, maybe that's who I'm thinking of. Maybe I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think she got one for, it was a coffee advertisement she worked on.
Yeah, that's it. I thought it was – well, I kind of know Megan, so I kind of still know somebody that has an Emmy.
Well, I know – hey, Kelly, how many degrees away from Kevin Bacon are you?
I don't know. I looked in Google, but apparently I don't – because Google has like a thing if you type in like Kevin Bacon degrees or something and somebody's name, it'll tell you. But I guess I don't rank high enough for that.
Okay. Michael, are you close in any way?
Unfortunately not. I've actually done very few film work. That's actually about to change very soon. Again, the same gentleman I'm working on, he is producing and directing a wonderful film called Army of Frankensteins, which is actually going to be pretty darn good. And I have an extremely tiny part in it, but I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to put on like mutton chops because it takes place in like the Civil War.
Ooh, okay.
So,
Interesting. Well,
I guess I might know some people who would put, you know, give me some pretty close Kevin Bacon degrees. Like, we've got, I think, John Andrews, like, working at the studio, and he was the producer at like, MTV when they were doing all their Liquid stuff, like the Max and that. I think he worked at, like, Klasky Chupo on Rugrats and stuff for a while, so I don't know. Every so often you see him, like, hanging out in the parking lot with, like, Tom Kenny or whatever. So,
well, I know.
I figure if I've got Kevin Bacon degrees anywhere, it's, like, you know, through people in the studio.
Yeah. I know Melissa is 2 degrees from being in Trekkies, too. She's 2 degrees from Kevin.
Nice.
So, by just the degrees of association, I am thereby 3 degrees from Kevin Bacon. But I haven't done actually any video work. But
see, that's how Kevin Bacon degrees work. It's like, you just got to know somebody.
Well, you got to be in a movie, though. Or I'm not sure what the rules are. Anyway, moving on. In addition, I did see another commercial that you were in recently as well, and it was for an Oklahoma clinic or something like that?
Yes, for a weight loss clinic, yes. The Broadway Weight Loss Clinic. That was my first on-camera one in many years, and they have been playing it to death. It's very amusing.
Now, how did you get into that one? Was it also, did you know, or did they see the dentist commercial and be like, hey, let's get that guy?
It was the best backhanded compliment I've ever gotten. The person who handles the marketing for the dentist's place, they had met me in person, and you know, we had talked for a while, and she called me and she said, Michael, I've got this great commercial you would be perfect for. It's for a weight loss clinic. Thanks. It's like, well, you know, you're not fat, but you're kind of overweight, so you'd be good for that. So that was interesting. But no, it was a lot of fun. It.
Let's just say you're the target audience.
Exactly.
Thanks.
I don't know. There are worse things that you could be, told you're perfect for, I guess.
If you are an actor, you have to set aside any and all ego. You are what you appear to be. That's what they hire you for, is what you appear to be.
Oh, I could star in monster movies. Hey.
Well, once you get really, really rich and famous as an actor, then I guess you can have an ego and people will still hire you, apparently.
That, yes, there is a tipping point there where it completely shifts the other way around.
And you need to have the ego to keep in the news so people, keep paying attention to you.
Don't forget about you. Exactly.
And with that, I did come across a blog post on your website, Top 10 Ways How to Be a Successful Performer, Storyteller, Magician, you name it. And I kind of wanted to go over some of this for our audience.
Absolutely. I love that. One of my favorite things is, friends of friends will randomly email me like, you know, I kind of want to get into this voice thing. You know, let me know how. And so I'm always happy to help in any way.
All right. Now, we'll just go through the list here. Number one, you say fill out paperwork promptly.
It is incredible that I work with these places and they want to give you money. But they need to do their, you know, processing, their billing. They have superiors they have to go through. This money comes from somewhere. And the only way it's going to get to you is if you fill out the forms. And you would be astonished how often entertainers just don't do it. And then they stare at them blankly when they don't have the check ready.
I was wondering if this meant more like an application process or if it's just like that W-2 or whatever.
Sometimes it's as simple as a W-2. Sometimes they need some kind of written agreement saying, hey, you know, you're an independent contractor, don't sue us, sort of thing. Every place is different, but they all have, you know, very explicit rules that they have to follow. And you're literally helping them give you money by making sure you got your paperwork filled out.
And that probably helps next time when they go to hire you, they know that you got your act together, so
exactly.
To speak.
All of this goes into, you know, when they think back, it's like, well, did that guy show up late? Was he, you know, all of the things that they think about definitely go into whether or not they hire you again.
And I think that's another one of yours. I'm just going to skip down to I won't skip down because I don't know where I am. But I'll go to number two. In the real world, on time is a half hour early.
Exactly. Well, exactly. You If you're a live entertainer, very often you will not be performing in your own town. And if you're in a large town, you'll be performing somewhere you've never been before. And if you plan to get there right on time, you will be late because the train will get in the way, the traffic. Your GPS will tell you it's east when it was supposed to be west. Something will happen. And if you don't plan to be there a half hour early, you will be late. And that is the one thing they don't forget is like, oh, he's the guy who showed up late.
Yeah, I'm way too paranoid about going other places. I've shown up hours early for conventions. I've driven across several states for, and it's like, I don't know what to do. I'll sleep in my car.
Perfect.
So I hate to be late. If I have to be somewhere at a certain time, I hate being late. It just seems rude.
Then you can start showing up late once you've you've shown your face there enough that they're like, all right, we.
Yeah. Flex time. I don't think flex time works in the entertainment industry. let's see here. And I'm always really weird about like when people are supposed to be like on the show, like Mark and Kelly here is like it's getting closer. Are they asleep? Did they oversleep? It's daylight savings today. Are they going to be here?
It's like to put your mind at ease. Most of the time, yes, I overslept. It's like 9 a.m. out here. I'll wake up like right at.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that a couple of times before, and where I wake up and I've even been texted, "Hey, are we doing a show today?" It's like, they're like, "Oops, I'm sorry, I'm tired, blah blah blah." That's when we started. We used to do the shows live, but we hardly get people showing up live, so don't need to do it live.
Now we just interview zombies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dress nice, number 3.
It's incredible in the entertainment industry how either just poorly, I mean, like literally like a hobo, some entertainers will dress or just dress stupid. I was at a reading for a thing and a guy showed up with a bowler hat on and suspenders. And I just wanted to walk over and just slap him and just like, what are you doing? Just stop it. You know, you're not, you look like a dork.
Well, was his character that sort of design?
No. This was voice. This was all voice. It had nothing to do with the character.
Your character, maybe.
I understand. I really do understand that if you're going for a live part, but he was just dressed like that because he's an actor. He was like, I'm an actor. Look at me. I'm counterculture. Ooh.
I'm flamboyant.
Exactly. And he looked ridiculous. What I mean is just if you're like, I often will show up with a button-up shirt, you know, I mean, at the very least, you know, khakis, polo shirt, you know, just put together like you mean it.
Like you have a purpose.
Like you have a purpose, like you belong there and that you're a professional. You should dress like a professional and people will treat you like a professional.
Office casual, at least.
Exactly. At the very least, office casual.
And we got number 4 here. Call the day before and confirm. I know I'm kind of bad about this with the emailing guests. It's like, oh, hey, yeah, are you going to be on tomorrow?
Well, but you did do it for me, and I certainly appreciate that. And it, you know, just like you said, that panic that you feel like right before the call begins, that's what, say, a librarian feels right before her event. If she booked this 3 months ago and she hasn't heard from the person. Well, did he forget? Did he sleep in? Was he in a car wreck? Just call him the day before. Hey, just trying to confirm. It's just like, oh, it just makes them feel so much better. And that positive feeling goes on when they want going to hire you again next year.
I've usually had the assumption if I haven't heard from somebody for a long time, I usually assume that they're dead. Because
hey, I was actually in a car wreck that one time.
Yeah, you were. Yeah,
I heard about that. My goodness.
If you assume the worst, then you don't say, "Where is that bastard?" And then it's like, "Oh my gosh, oh, I said so many bad things about them because they didn't show up." And then it's like, "Oh, then you feel so much more relieved." Oh, hey, I thought you were dead. You know, when you're so happy to see them.
I said all these terrible things because you were late, but you were too busy, you know, being on the operating table and the emergency ward. And now I found out you're not, so it's okay. I feel better now. I feel better, so it's okay.
Number five, be polite. I think this should go without saying, though.
It should, but I mean, I don't really need to say much else about it, but, you know, please and thank you goes really long way. These are people who have to deal with, you know, angry patrons and difficulties all throughout their day, and just be nice. It really works.
Oh, man, I remember, like, they were filming the Glee project or something, like, around the corner from me, and it was just, like, the entire street was flooded with, like, teenagers emoting and, like, you know, all of them had kind of, you know, like that, I'm a teenager and I'm going to be an actor ego. And I was just like, this is the worst, like, this is the most Hollywood has ever felt in, like, 2 years of living here.
When I get my Oscar and my acceptance speech, I'm going to call you out because you were rude to me. Just so you know, I'm going to remember you 20 years from now. You know, when I'm on that stage. I don't know.
All right. I need to take a quick break here so I can switch the reels on the recording track here. But we'll be right back.
There have been a lot of problems recently with the hurricane over which hit the east coast of the United States, the tsunami which hit Hawaii, and many other natural disasters. And we're going to try and do something about that.
We're setting up a Red Cross charity drive, an idea started by a pseudonym, one of my personal favorite artists. Basic idea is that there'd be a live group tiny chat that we'd set up for the Red Cross charity event. Anyone who comes in and donates any amount of money directly to the Red Cross during this event gets a sketch done live for them. This event has the chance to contribute to a good cause, get artists to network with others, and get us a chance to talk and hang directly with our audiences, and just have a great time together.
So make sure to tune in. And if you want more information, stop by webcastbeacon.com, or you can send an email to webcastbeacon@gmail.com for more information, or if you're interested in helping out.
Thank you very much for your support.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We are also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
I promise we'll get to your comic in a minute, Michael.
Oh, no, I fully understand this part is way more interesting.
Well, there's a lot more here than I thought, because you only linked me your comic, and it's like, hey, look, there's so much more to talk about.
Well, I didn't want to be presumptuous, like, look at me, I'm so awesome, all these things I do, you know.
Shouldn't that be, like, rule number something of acting, is just, you know, find ways to subtly, like, flaunt how interesting you are?
It is a very strange duality that you have to ride of like, you know, I need to get better and I need to keep improving and I'm the most awesome thing in the world. And I have to ride that right in the middle.
Well, I don't think, like, advertising that part as much, because then you can be, like, you can sound full of it, but you have to at least have that confidence in you.
Yes, you absolutely have to be confident in you that, I'm a professional, and this is what I do, and I'm very, very good at it, and that's why you should hire me.
And here's something that I don't do nearly enough, and that is number six, pre-show warm-up.
Mm-hmm. One of the big parts about getting there early is that I'm usually in the process of finishing setting up my things, any props that I'm going to have in the show, that kind of thing. And I just start working with the kids. I start talking to them. I chat them up. I ask them, you know, why do they got that shirt on? I ask them silly questions. And, you know, and very often I'll do like a few little minor magic tricks just to kind of pique their interest. And it the difference is huge. There was, because this does happen to anyone, I was late on a show once. And the difference in the crowd was phenomenal because they were cold. And I had to work so hard to get them going. The first few things I did just did not go over. It really makes a big difference.
Lesson learned. Who's typing in the background?
Not me. I'm done.
All right. So with that, number seven, and we did this before the show, test all audio equipment.
Yeah, I don't need to tell you that one. That's just very standard that, you know, anything that is electric that plugs in will break at some point.
Yeah.
And you just have to be able to deal with it.
Yeah. It's like I was also telling you before the show, Skype can totally, I wish there was an alternative to Skype that was better, but it can screw up sometimes. Back when we had Tanya on the show, she was out in the mountains in Colorado and on wireless. So every once in a while, it was only when she was on the show. Her connection would like vibrate like she was a dolphin underwater.
Oh, like the underwater robot voice?
Yeah. And then I think that was also when I was trying to also broadcast live on Ustream, in which that feed would get screwed up, but then it would start looping. It was like, stop talking!
It's maddening when that happens.
Madness.
Madness.
But it's been really hard when someone not me is recording, and I'm always like really worried. No, you're using the laptop microphone. No.
Stop it.
It's I don't know, it's like when I was like back in school and we'd have like there's like the one professor who would always like sort of run, you know, there's like the big main sort of lecture that we had, you know, that was like, all right, these are all the things you got to like have done to hit your milestones this week, and all the professors would be there for it, but like one would run it, and if it was like a week where he wasn't in and they have to like leave it to somebody else, he'd just like, you know, dick around with the projector for 15 minutes and be like, all right, lecture canceled.
I actually, because I go to conventions a lot and I always try to get on panels and make panels and do presentations and such. I actually bought my own projector and projector screen. Not that I can't figure out anybody else's projector. It's just that I can't always count on them having that there. So I learned that also, if I can say I have my own equipment, I could potentially get my panels moreover than in the few rooms that have AV support. So, yeah.
Very smart. I always bring all of my audio equipment. I couldn't agree with you more.
I even have a little baggie of all these different sort of connections and a different audio Y-splitter connections. If they do have a sound system, I can connect to it with, like the large speaker plug, the stereo plug, or, with the red and white plugs. So it's like, I'm set. Number eight, keep a log of all names, phone numbers, and addresses, a little black book, perhaps.
Absolutely, because the people who are most likely to hire you are the people that have hired you before, and being able to shoot out an email saying, you know, hey, the Nick Summer Reading Program is coming up. I just wanted to let you know that this is what I'm going to be doing next year. That's huge. And those are the people who are almost always hiring me.
Do you wait for them to call you, or do you contact them and basically ask if they're going to need you at all?
What I generally do is I send out an email to everyone who has booked me in the past.
Okay.
And let them know, because they, for the libraries, which is my single biggest source of income for my live performances, they have very specific times they want a performer.
Do you, are you based mostly locally to where you live, or do you travel? Do you travel much to do your work?
I travel. I absolutely travel. I keep it mostly within the state. I live in Oklahoma, so I will travel literally to any place in Oklahoma. The fee simply goes up as the travel goes up to compensate for that. But obviously, I charge much, much less for someone that's, you know, 10 miles away than someone who's 150 miles away.
Right. And with that, you say you travel anywhere in Oklahoma. Does that include that extra bar at the top?
Oh, the panhandle. Yes. I actually have never gone to – I've always been waiting for them to ask me to go to, like, Guymon, which is, like, just, like, right there on the edge of that. But I have gone like all the way down to the Texas border, to the Arkansas border, and I would go even further too. It's just it becomes cost prohibitive for the right. libraries to hire me at those points.
Right, right. Unless you happen to do like this whole traveling string, I suppose, in which you're out of, but you probably don't want to sleep in your car.
Well, which absolutely some performers do exactly what you're saying is during the, especially during the months of the summer reading program, they will just tour the United States and they'll line up, a big session, in a particular area, just do all of them.
I recently saw the movie Sleepwalk With Me by, is it Mike Birbiglia?
Yes, I believe so.
And it was a good and really nice story, sort of like of his life and the beginning of his stand-up career. Basically, has this crappy car and is just booking every single gig he can get. I think pretty much for exposure and at least to do what he wants to do. And that was pretty interesting. I think I'd be sorely tempted to do that too if I were in that situation. It's like, yeah, I can drive another 5 hours.
Sure, why not?
And if you had work when you got there.
Oh, geez.
You know, if you planned it well enough, I guess you could probably do that. I know there's a lot of webcomickers that the more successful ones, they actually plan their convention appearances that way. Like, okay, these two are close together, and then there's this one over here, so you know, they're different weekends, so I'll hit all three.
I kept getting invited to ones on, like, the East Coast last year, and I felt bad because, like, they were all spaced, like, 2 weeks apart, and it was, like, you know, a month and a half of conventions that were all, like, within, you know, like, 50 miles of each other that were all 2 weeks away from each other. So it was, like, you know, they'd fly me out there, and I'd be out there for, like, you know, 3 or 4 days, and I'd fly back, and then, like, a week later, it's, like, fly out for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm, like, wasting all this money.
Well, that's when you got to find somebody who lives there that you can just crash on and lets you have their internet connection to so you can do updates.
I'd have to draw comics without my Cintiq, and I'm too spoiled.
And number 9, keep accurate financial records. Now, this is a rule of life in general, I think.
Absolutely. But what happens is, even though you've filled out your paperwork and done your due diligence, sometimes the board or whatever it is that processes the payment just doesn't have your check ready, and you're going to get it later. And what will save your bacon more often than not is just having a column that says, you know, is this paid? Did I get payment for this? And just putting a yes or a no. And when you get to the end of the year, you're like, no, they never paid me for that birthday party, and I need to give them a call.
Hmm. Do you do birthday parties? I'm not sure if we covered that.
Yeah, I do. I don't do a ton, but they go very well because I do a very high energy show, and I do lots and lots of audience participation, which is what
the
kids really like.
All the kids tired out today. They fall asleep well.
Yeah, the parents like that part.
And you get free cake and ice cream, too.
That's right, yeah.
Man, sign me up. Let's see here. And the last one, give the best possible performance you can.
Well, I'm sure you've heard that ad nauseum in comics is, you know, well, the most important thing is having the best comic possible. That's the best thing you can do to promote your work. You know, it's the same thing. It's if you go and you kind of, because you can give a performance and it's fine, you know, it's okay, but it's not great. And yeah. They're not going to bring you back again because there's a lot of other people to choose from.
The first two steps to my guide to success in comics is actually, what number one, make a good comic. Two, get people to read it.
So. my number one step is reference Pokemon.
Reference Pokemon.
Read it.
Now, I haven't tried that. Note to self, Pokemon.
I'm so glad you said that, Kelly, because in an upcoming comic I think it's going to start next year, I'm working on right now, is they go to an anime convention and one of the characters is dressed like Ash. So I'm going to be putting in a lot of Pokemon references there.
Now, bonus points if you can sing the original song with the 150.
Oh, the Pokemon rap?
Oh,
I'm out.
Man.
I'm out of that one, too.
And
probably could, but I'd be embarrassed.
And one last thing before we move on to your comics, Michael. You've done some actual performances with Two Movie Guys, which is apparently... Tell us, what is the Two Movie Guys?
They're really... It's a lot of fun. You've all seen the local access channel type show where mm-hmm. they like host a movie and they come back on and they do little funny things. Well, that's exactly what Two Movie Guys is. It's Ryan and Lucas are the Two Movie Guys, and they just do funny little skits, and they also do little performances for the news, the local news for the Channel 4 affiliate here, and it's really taken off. And while I was working on the original iteration of Vox in a Box, I said they were talking about creating more content for their site, and I was mm-hmm. like, well, why don't I just make a little comic for you? And that's still going today. It's almost got 1,000 comics that have been made for them. But they're very, very talented individuals, both actors and producers and video and everything.
Did the comic come before or after that you've actually had some guest spots?
It's definitely come after. I was with them since the inception, since they were creating it. And I helped write a couple of shows. If you go back in their archives in the first season, as it were, I was in some of their episodes. My favorite is where I played both an angel and the devil. That was a great deal of fun. It was great.
I think I pulled that up on my tabs here. I did see the Christmas special. I think that's one of the more recent specials that they had done, where you play one of you have like a few characters that I've noticed.
Yes, in the most recent Christmas special, I played the head alien, which was my second animated character that I've ever done, which they, by the way, won an Emmy for, a local Emmy, for that show, because it was amazing, the amount of work they put into that for literally no budget. And the one before it, I played Santa Claus, where I got killed by a giant robot and then brought back to life. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the one I must have saw, the one sure. that started with the Thanksgiving not special. And yeah, it... Man, that's got to be really fun to work on something visually. And it was what I really liked about it, that it was like whatever channel you're on, there was like the news channel, and you guys got like some of the news anchors to like have bit parts in this special. And I thought that was just great.
They really did, and I was blown away by like how game on they were, because these are people who like have this, you know, are kind of serious persona, and they just are like, let's do it, let's jump in and be crazy, and it's like, okay.
That's awesome. All right. Webcomics.
I've heard of those.
So you originally pitched me way back when. You pitched me with a comic called Vox in a Box at voxboxcomics.com. Those are with X's. So set us up for this. I think there's some magic in this comic as well.
It is definitely what I tell people. My little quick spiel is: well, if you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you'll probably like this comic. It's definitely a monster of the week type of comic. Now that it's really gotten up and going, the story is of Michael Vox, and he through various mystical things has gotten the soul of a girl stuck inside of him.
Okay,
and because of that. Every supernatural creature you can imagine has been attracted to his area. And so they begin popping up in various ways, and he's got to deal with it. And it's just every series is a new thing coming up that poor Mr. Vox has to deal with.
Hmm. What gave you the incentive I remember the answer to this. It's you wanted to produce more content for your site. Did you have any drawing experience before this, or did you just like, I'm going to make a comic and just jump right into it?
I had no comic experience. I have no natural drawing talent. I never have ever drawn anything. And so what I did was I found that website you may be familiar with, Bitstrips.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Which I still use for Two Movie Guys, which it's sort of like puppets. It lets you make little puppets and you mm-hmm. can move them around and change their expressions, and that was fine. But what I would do is randomly, my original Vox in a Box was kind of like a journal comic. I was just going to like, you know, look at these wacky things that happen when you're a magician. You know, it's hard to get through airport security with all these coins in my pocket. Wah, wah, kind of jokes. And what I would do is I'd randomly, just for fun, throw in these little supernatural elements, and the community on there would just explode with response when I would do those. And so I slowly started building a sort of a storyline behind it. And I got so into it and really enjoyed it that I was like, I really want to do this, but I want it to be me. I don't want it to be on Bitstrips. Mm-hmm. And I spent about 4 months just researching drawing. And then I just started in October of 2010. And you can tell, because the first 2 or 3 months are awful. They're just really awful, the drawings. But I slowly got better, and in October of 2011, I added color, and shortly after that, I went to all analog, as it were. It's the only digital thing is the coloring. It's all, like, even the lettering and everything is all just done by hand, and just trying to get better and better at that format.
Hmm. The lettering's done by hand?
It is now, yeah. It was not for the first year, and then at the end of October 2011, I switched over to a hand font.
Okay, yeah, actually, your hand lettering doesn't look that bad. Actually, I was reading through this. I'm reading it in 2012 right now. So yeah, it's and you said for 4 months you researched drawing.
I just read every single book I could find in the library.
Okay, I gotta tell you.
Oh, please, I'm sorry.
You've done I think you've done more work, more prep work than any other than most of the webcomic artists out there.
Well, if I can say that it wasn't just that, it was more that I was scared to start. And so I just kept researching and kept researching. And then it hit me, it was like, I'm never going to start. I just have to start. And so I just started drawing, even though I really wasn't ready to, you know, put this out in front of people. But if I didn't start, it was never going to get any better.
Yeah, I think I've told this story before, but I did that when I tried to put together the Web Fiction World podcast, and I wasn't going to run it, but I was trying to get these other two web fiction artists to start it. And I was like, all right, let's just go for it, because it was like 3 months, nothing's happening, and then we'll just see how it works. And, you know, I think that's a lot of times is a good kick in the pants, though I would caution anybody that's just starting to not be afraid of restarting after you think about it a little bit better and you get more, because I just jumped in with my comic and I didn't restart, so my whole first year is sort of doesn't make sense. But it was good practice. But
well, like, I don't know, but like, when, because like most people you talk to who draw, like, have drawn, you know, their whole lives, and, you know, if you ask them, like, oh, when'd you start, it's like, oh, as soon as I could pick up a pencil. But like, when people, like, you know, are trying to get into drawing, like, later in life, and they're like, oh, where do I start? And people are always like, oh, read all this Loomis and study all these proportions and stuff like that. And, like, nobody starts drawing like that. Like, it's not fun, and it feels like work, and you're like, oh, and it's like, you just kind of have to, like, you know, you start out drawing things that are, you know, draw the Sonic fan art you have to, like, get you interested, and then, you know, once you, you know, get your skill levels up a bit, then it's like you start worrying about Loomis and making everything 7 heads tall, and
I couldn't agree more.
All right, I think we lost Mark, but that's okay. I'm sure he'll come back. Let's see here. So, Bitstrips. I think I remember Bitstrips from a while ago. I think we had somebody on once, and I don't think it wasn't Bitstrips, but it was some other sort of posing comic program, and I think it was more so aimed at to be used in, like, schools and such. We had him on the show. That wasn't my favorite episode. It felt a little bit too much like an infomercial. it did, but you know, it's, you know, something else out there that people can do. I mean, this is if I'm looking at the numbers right, if this particular episode comes out in order, as in there's two more before this one, this is episode 250. Oh. And that is a lot.
Actually,
between the Webcomic Beacon and the Webcomic Beacon newscast, which are more or less sort of this, you know, they're the same family show, we have like 315 episodes between us. And
that is incredible.
It is. And what's more incredible, that between Web Fiction World, Webcomic Beacon, and the newscast and First Issue, there are 14 days of content since 2017. So if you want to catch up on everything, set aside a few months.
That's how I started listening to it. I just I'd play stuff in the background, because like if I listen to music while I work, I always like fiddle with the songs and don't get any work done. But if I put on podcasts, it's just like in the bed. So like I think I would listen to it for like most of like a season of Ugly Americans or something.
I think I need to update the new listener post with some more picks. I don't think there's barely anything that's after episode 200, I think. So,
well, I kind of missed the old layout because it was so easy to get to like all the old shows and stuff.
You did what now?
Oh, I just kind of missed the old layout because it was so easy to see, like, you know, the shows that were like way at the very beginning and stuff. Because like there was like a lot of good stuff back then too.
Yeah, I got to do something. We're trying to make a brand new website, and I'm hoping that it's not going to fall apart in my face.
Fall apart in your face?
Oh,
yeah,
speaking of new websites, I know how that do.
Yes. But I am looking to bring back Comic of the Week. It's a webcomic Z thing. I'm hoping to bring fold into the Webcomic Beacon Network and get Comic of the Week rolling once again. I'm trying to find people, wink wink, to do webcomic reviews or comic reviews on a consistent basis. I'm in talks with one person right now that can do it monthly, so I'm getting there. It's all about that producing content, and I really want to make a whole site for stuff and comics and creators and readers and.
Okay.
It's going to cost me a little bit of money. I know that. So, okay, we got to take one more break, and we'll be right back.
Apraxia, arrhythmia, the cause of your dyslexia. It gives you anorexia, a pain around the nexia. Arthritis, bursitis, it'll stick you with colitis. Bulimia, amnesia, make yeast infection easier. Dry mouth, nausea, headaches and insomnia. Aphasia with amnesia, hello to amblyopia. Status epilepticus will certainly affect us. Tardive dyskinesia won't make it any easier. Suicide on the side, trichotillomania. Paralysis, empathic ulcer, it'll shrink your brainia. Impotence, mania, you'll probably go insania. Vomiting, weight gain, anxiety and back pain. Memory loss, vaginitis, hematoma. If you try this, gassiness, vertigo, it makes it hard to pee. You know you're headed for a total mental breakdown. So ask your doctor if this pill is right for you. Ask your doctor if there's something he can do. Cause there's something. Abnormalities, hypertension, if you please. Epilepsy and pneumonia, more to come, we'll have to phone you. Homicide, you decide, often being petrified. Autism, shortism, something with metabolism. Dizziness, short of breath, restless leg, and maybe death. Neonatal complications, go to war with peaceful nations. Somnolence and bipolar, then we'll have to pull your molar. Bladder gone, that's a bet. In the street, your pants are wet. Delusional, confusional, nothing that's unusual. Emphysema, feeling strange, internal organs rearrange. Ticks, hives, jerky movements, don't expect to see improvements. Rectal bleeding happen, yet you won't believe the things you get. Stomach ulcers, kidney stones, constant aching in your bones. Fighting with your fellow man, interrupted lifespan. Erections lasting longer than 4 hours. So ask your doctor if this drug is what you need. Ask your doctor, will this cure be guaranteed? Cause there's something in the world.
That was an abridged version of Ask Your Doctor by Neil Fox, found at musicalley.com by Mevio.
You're just like thinking about how much money you have to spend, like, oh no, it's too much. Okay, take it.
I just gotta stop for a second here. Get a little something to drink.
I do need to get a drink too. I actually have a cold.
No, goodness. You don't sound like it, so.
Well, I've been dodging.
You're pulling it off well.
Yeah, I got a cough drop here in its wrapper that I've been dodging to every once in a while to get a little bit of cough drop in me and coming back. But,
I remember once I had a cold, and I was like, maybe if I just drink straight lemon juice, it'll, like, burn it out of me. And I was like, oh, no, I'm drinking acid.
Oh, no.
This plan did not work out well. I am questioning the wisdom of my actions.
Is it feet of fever, starve a cold?
It's
I don't
BS.
Know.
Don't go for that.
It's crazy like, old wives' tale that don't work.
Well...
But I'm all for feeding. I'm all for feeding anything, so that's fine.
Oh, I agree. But you know, maybe I should just end up going to the Oklahoma Clinic.
They do good work there. Those people.
Has it worked for you?
No, my wife actually went there several years ago, and it did actually work. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the magic. I know we talked about it a little bit.
Sure.
But so you. Were you already interested in magic, or did this just something you picked up and said, hey, this would be – I know you said you kind of added it to the act and everything, but
– Sure. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just have a deep love of everything to do with the supernatural. When I was in middle school, I heard the term parapsychologist, and I thought, oh, well, then I'm just going to do that. And then I realized it's not a real profession. That's just people who hold little EMP things call themselves. But I read literally every single book on the supernatural in my library. I mean, like the quote unquote serious books, you know, like this is ESP and this is what ghosts are. And
I was just wondering what's, of course you're doing this at parties and things. So that's a little bit different from on stage, obviously. But what's the most complicated trick that you do?
Most complicated trick that I do. That's a very interesting question. I'd have to say I love coin magic. I think it's one of my most favorite things because you can't fake coin magic. You have to be able to do it. You know, you can do some really incredible card tricks like just by having a prepared deck and knowing what to say. And you don't actually have to do any, as we say, prestidigitation, you know, quick finger kind of thing. But if you're a good coin magician, you got to be able to do it. And the great thing is I can put on a show at any time just because I have a half dollar, a Mexican centavo, and two pennies in my pocket and a pen. And I can put on a show at any time. And the one trick that I do that I absolutely love is called four coins in a glass. And it's where I've got four coins in one fist and they're watching me. And I grab a small cup, a clear cup, in my other hand, and I shake the first fist, and the coin appears in my other hand and falls into the cup. And I set this to music, and throughout the act where I'm doing silly things, the coins continuously vanish from one hand and appear in my other hand to fall into the cup. And the effect is really quite dramatic.
Yeah, I totally would not have the dexterity to do. I'm butterfingers. I wouldn't be able to do that. That's really interesting, though. I've known some people who, well, you're married, but to use it as a pickup technique at the bar. You know, hey, I'm just playing with some cards. It's magic.
When you,
come on over here, baby.
When you watch How to Do Magic videos, which, of course, I did do a great deal when I was studying, most of them have some element of, you probably could use this to get chicks. Just, it's like, okay, that's fine.
Or at least make friends.
Right. Well, they always have the magician, you know, going up to a couple of girls at a bar, and it's just like, hey, you know, I'd love to show you. Well, yeah. And of course, they're always, oh, you're so amazing, you know.
Yeah, here's my
that's pretty funny.
Well, all right. So the way that I actually got Michael Corley on the show with us today is because in the summer, I made a post everywhere saying, hey, maybe trying to get people to like shorter episodes, but there was a lot more stuff that Michael didn't tell us about, which got to have a bigger show and I think a better show because of it, because there's a whole lot more stuff here. And it's all very interesting. It's all about that being a creator. There's a lot more to it than just making comics, of course, here. But this was a post on, he replied to me on, I think, was it Google Plus you saw this?
It was on Google Plus.
So therefore, Google Plus is not worthless.
No, I never thought it was worthless. It's got some good stuff.
Yeah, there's just a different audience that's over there and different people, so I post over there. So I think we're at the end of our show here today. Michael, is there anything else that you would like to talk about or plug before we get going?
One little side project that I'm doing with Vox in a Box is called Free Facebook Portrait. People can go to freefacebookportrait.com, which will redirect you to part of Vox in a Box. But if you go to freefacebookportrait.com, I will make a portrait for anyone doing anything.
Well, there you go.
Cool.
And so I'm happy to do that for anybody who's listening.
You can get into trouble with that. You could get like an overflux of interest, and you'd be like,
That does happen from time to time, and I just kindly tell them it's free, and you're gonna get it, but it's just gonna take a little while.
Is it WonderCon, I guess, with Tom Parkinson Morgan, like the artist for Glam Rock Gorilla, and he was just doing like free sketches of anything, and he did like 150 sketches in like a day. It was insane. Like, wow. I was offering to do free sketches too, but I was also offering to do like, you know, finished kind of colored marker art cards for $15, and most people were just going for that. But man, I cannot scoff at that guy's output.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that kind of output. But, well, all right. So that is it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And also to remind you to listen to coming episodes for your chance to win various things that we're going to be giving away for the 5th anniversary special. Not entirely sure what or when or how we're going to do things, but I do know that there is stuff to give away. Just going to cut in here real quick. We decided that in after we had recorded this episode that I'm actually going to play it a lot earlier than I thought it was going to be. And with this episode will come another prize for the Webcast Beacon Network Webcomic Beacon 5th anniversary string of prizes to win through the end of November through December. So what we're going to do is... let's see here. The prize keyword will be blah, blah, blah. Just email blah, blah, blah to webcastbeacon@gmail.com. Just email blah, blah, blah to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And in the subject, put in 5th anniversary prize number 3 entry or something like that, so I know what I'm looking for, and give the prize keyword blah 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 for your chance to win a personalized voicemail message from either Mark Savory, myself, Fessworks, announcer Witchy Bunny, or also Michael Corley has also said he'd throw his voice into the hat of people that can win a personalized voicemail message. Now, this is up to 4 winners. So 4 people can get a personalized voicemail message. Content will be determined if somebody is going to be doesn't want to say certain things. We're not going to say certain things, but you can pretty much get us to say a lot of different things for your personalized voicemail message. So that's Mark Savory, myself, or Witchy Bunny, or Michael Corley. You can win a personalized voicemail message. Once again, email the prize keyword for prize number 3, blah, 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 to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. You have until At least December 1st. I might extend this one more week to December 8th, but get these entries in by December 1st. And don't forget to, if you hear this podcast in time, to also, we have an episode that we're going to be recording in December as well with the Double Clicks and Molly Lewis. And Molly Lewis, they've been known as the Ladies of Ragnarok as they went on a tour. They got some great music, and we're going to be giving away both of their latest albums. All you need to do for that one is email a question for the Double Clicks or Molly Lewis to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. That's prize number 2. So get those questions in by December 1st. And because we're going to be recording with them on December 2nd. So that is how you can win 2 CDs by emailing a question for the Double Clicks or Molly Lewis or both, a.k.a. the Ladies of Ragnarok. You can check out more of this information in this episode's blog post as well. And stay tuned to webcastbeacon.com for more ways to win a few other different prizes through November and December of 2012 as we celebrate the 5th anniversary of the Web Comic Beacon. And now back to the previously recorded podcast as we end the show. But that is it for this episode of the Web Comic Beacon. I've been Fess of ArgerComic.com.
Kelly Turnbull of ManlyGuys.com.
Mark?
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
And once again, thanks to Michael Corley from MichaelCorley.com as well as VoxBoxComics.com. Thank you once again.
Thank you, and I've been listening to y'all since 2010, and I very much appreciate all of your hard work.
Oh, wow, you're the one.
When I went to Colorado this past summer, I was asked where I was from, and I was like trying to think, don't say it with an accent, I'm from Minnesota. Oh, Minnesota, huh? It's like, no, I tried not to say it like that. All right.
I was at a Starbucks once, and the barista was like making fun of how I said like Manitoba, and you know, she was like, oh, what's a Manitoba? And I was like, it's a province in Canada. And she was like, oh my goodness, that must have been racist. I'm so sorry.